Hey, welcome back. This is the Infamous Podcast, episode 15. This way, something Halloweeny comes?
Yeah, that'll work.
Was that a question or a statement?
I don't know. You were the one that was asking a question. I think I would put it as a statement.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on?
Not much. How's it going?
Good. Hey, this is Brian. And as always, Johnny, we are here this week. You might have noticed something a little bit different in the open. We decided to pay homage to one of our favorites, Alfred Hitchcock, with the theme to Alfred Hitchcock Presents.
Sadly, we could not get him as a guest, so...
Well, you know, I tried the seance, and it just blew up in my face.
It would have been better if you would have got Anthony Hopkins to come in playing Alfred Hitchcock.
That would be pretty cool. Because
he was awesome doing it.
Like, I thought maybe Gus Van Sant could fill in. Just do a shot-for-shot remake of some interview with Hitchcock.
No thanks.
But, no, hey, guys, it's Halloween week. If you're listening to this on Friday, Halloween is tomorrow. If you're listening to this any other day, Halloween has already happened, and hopefully you didn't get any cavities.
And it'll happen again next year.
And again. And again. And again. All right. So, hey, let's just jump right in.
Sure.
Supergirl. Yeah. We're going to talk about a bunch of Halloween stuff, but Supergirl. Season premiere on Monday.
Yep.
More views than, or I guess higher ratings than Arrow, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and The Flash.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There's a couple reasons that I think that happened, and I'm interested in your opinion. One, it's on CBS. Yeah. More people have CBS than have the CW.
Well, sure, yeah.
Two, CBS plugged the hell out of this show, even going so far as to, like you said last week, do commercials during Arrow and The Flash.
Yeah.
So, it's a Greg Bertinelli show. So if you guys don't know, Greg Bertinelli is the executive producer for both The Flash and Arrow.
Yep.
And something else. Blindspot, maybe?
I'm not sure.
So, but yeah. There was some other new show.
He does. He's, anything where you see Fred move your head at the end of the episodes, yeah. That's his show.
He's a very, very busy man. So, you know, really, we want to talk about more about Supergirl next week after the second episode.
Yeah. Just because you've already seen the premiere.
Yeah, and we've talked about it a couple times.
And yeah. You've mentioned it.
And if you haven't seen it, it's free on iTunes right now.
It was fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. You know, we downloaded it off iTunes just to see what was different from the screener we got over the summer. And it was exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
It just looked better because it was in high def. Yeah. You know, I think it's going to be a fun show.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where things go with the general.
Yeah.
I thought it was Zod.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, you know, spoilers, but it's not Zod, but it is somebody interesting, so.
I like that they kind of went with the whole, like, girl power part of that.
Yeah. It's sticking with that. I'm curious more, and it's one of those things because of what's going on The Flash right now. I'm curious to see if they bring either Barry into her universe or she shows up on episodes of Arrow and The Flash.
Well, they've said this, like, first season there's not going to be crossover.
Yeah.
But
if the ratings need a ratings kick, then you do what you got to do. So far it's been good, and you know, I'm curious to see if they bring any like Superman villains in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious to see if Tom Welling will show up as Superman.
That would be cool.
I hope that that's what they do. I hope that they, you know, bring him in as Superman, and you know, he's a little bit older, so he's been doing it for a while.
Right. And I mean, kind of the way The Flash is, I mean,
with, and then we get the payoff of a real costume on Tom Welling.
Yeah, I was reading a bunch of comments about how he didn't want to wear the costume. And, like, there were so many people, like, online calling him a D-bag and stuff like that. It's like,
I wouldn't call him that, but at this point, he's not really done anything except one show since Smallville.
And it's Did he do a show?
He was a producer on the show. Okay. He wasn't on the show.
Ah.
And he showed up in a couple movies.
Yeah, he did The Mist. I remember that.
He was in The Mist.
Or no, The Fog. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, that was when he was still, when Smallville was still on, but he did, what was it? The recruiting movie with Kevin Costner.
The Coast Guard movie.
No, the football recruiting movie.
Oh,
he actually plays a football player in the movie.
Oh, that's right.
I can't remember the name of it. Yeah. Sorry.
Was it The Draft or whatever? The one with
Draft Day, maybe.
Draft Day, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. As we get there eventually. Yeah, you know, whatever. I mean, Smallville was what it was.
Well, yeah, but he is a Superman. I mean, you know, and it would be cool to see him show up as Superman in something, either Flash or Supergirl.
Yeah, that would be
It was cool to see Dean Cain and Helen Slater at the beginning of the episode, and I know they'll be on, you know, further down the line.
I had fun explaining that to the kid.
Yeah.
It's like, well, he was Superman, and she actually was Supergirl.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, that's so cool. So,
And they're both cool people. I've met them both. And
yeah, you were the hardcore celebrity guy here.
Yeah, they were both cool.
But all right, so just general impressions. We both liked it.
Yeah, I told you after the first 15 minutes, I was sold.
Yeah,
the airplane thing sold it. I mean,
that was such a great, like, the way they filmed.
Oh yeah,
The engine exploding and her like doing the little cross arm block
the running into and, it and that and and I was, you know, telling the girlfriend while we were watching, I said, you can tell that she hadn't flown in a long time.
Oh yeah,
because the way she took off, it was like all of a sudden she's in the air, and she literally says it later in the episode. I remember how to fly, I just didn't remember how to get off the ground.
I didn't remember how it felt.
Yeah,
how good it felt. Yeah, no, it was cool. I'm looking forward to seeing more.
Yeah, yeah, so. I want to see more of these villains that escaped the prison that they show, and that, and you know how this affects the world. This prison that all these aliens,
I mean, like however many,
and where the hell is Superman at?
Yeah, like it crash landed. Like, why isn't Superman stopping these people? I'm interested to see if we see Billy Batson because they're in National City and with Shazam and Captain Marvel.
You might see something.
So it would be cool to just have a little out here.
Why Jimmy or James is there.
Yeah.
I like that whole thing that, you know, he's Superman's best pal.
Yeah, he's entrusted.
And they literally wrote it that way,
yeah,
where he is Superman's best friend.
I tell you one thing is, at some point they just have to start referring to him as Superman, because the boy in blue, your cousin, like it just got old. It got old real fast in a 45-minute pilot.
Well, sure.
So, you know, all
they should be
different...
I mean, referring to him as Superman should be fine.
Yeah,
it's not like you're tainting the movies at all.
What was it, Cat Grant called him superlative man?
Yeah,
it's like, come on, seriously. But like, other than that, like that was my only like real annoyance. But it's good, gonna keep checking it out.
Yeah,
if by the third or fourth episode this is really good, you know, we'll buy the season pass on iTunes and be down with that. All right, so now big topic of the week.
And it seems like we're always talking about The Walking
Dead.
We
are. Well, you know, it's that time of year.
Yeah.
So is Glenn dead?
No.
I
think Glenn might have a concussion. He did hit the ground pretty hard.
Yeah. And, I think Steve might have actually got an actual concussion.
Talking to somebody at work about it, because they've said Jesus is going to show up soon. And I said that it would be cool if Glenn has a concussion and is kind of delusional. Covered in guts and that.
Yeah.
And is walking around and Jesus shows up and he actually thinks it's Jesus. I said they've never acknowledged any kind of like what if Glenn had religion before.
Spirituality. Or
yeah.
Like
and
that.
And it would be interesting to see how he would handle visions of Jesus, I guess you would say.
Yeah. I mean, because he seems to be someone who's like the character the way it is in the show is very driven by like his emotions and.
Yeah.
And you know, how he views the world and views himself in the framework that he's built.
Plus, I want to know what the heck he was doing with the watch and everything. And
yeah.
It looked like he was making a will just by putting it in the way he was putting it together. And that it's like none of them expected to get out of there alive.
Right.
And it was a surprise for Nicholas to do what he did. And I was
surprised that they went that way.
I thought they were going to keep the character around a little longer and develop him a little bit more, because he seemed like an interesting character to see him go from being kind of a coward to...
Well, to what he was to what he became,
And just this, at this point, he was not afraid. He was just so sad that I think he just couldn't handle it anymore.
Is there a way for them to kill Glenn and have it be a good enough payoff that the like one of the main characters is dead?
If or they do it the way it was done in the comic book,
I'm saying if this was how Glenn goes, is that a good enough death for someone like Glenn?
No.
And then my second like kind of follow up question to that, would that be an interesting new reality to understand, like, hey, these people can go at any time?
Well, I mean, you know, it's happened in the past, and all, you know, for the last year and a half, they've all been kind of immortals.
Right.
And that, but for him to go that way kind of cheapens that character.
Yeah.
To me. And for him to go the way that he goes in the comic book, you know, and I'm not going to say how he went because of the, there's not a lot of people that watch the show that have read the comic book. I'm sure they could spoil it for themselves.
Right.
But if he goes that way, I think it'll be more of a payoff. And yeah. I don't want it to happen until toward the end of the season.
I would prefer if it didn't happen until next season, to be honest yeah. with you, because there's a lot between, like, so kind of non-comic book fans, where they are now and where they need to get to when the eventual incident happened, there's a lot of story.
Oh, there's a lot, but there's a lot you can cut out of that story,
there
too.
Is, there
it's
is.
The same as the prison. There was, I mean, the prison in the comic book went on for 2.5 years almost.
Yeah, it was a long, long time.
You know, Kirkman was working at Marvel at the time, so he was doing a lot of volumes of trade.
Yeah. Paperbacks. So.
And I mean, they cut a lot out of that storyline yeah. that.
Well, they changed a lot.
And they, you know, they switched things around and they didn't have characters to use that they had mm-hmm. in there. And the governor was a totally different character. So.
Yeah, almost where they should have called him like the senator or, you know, the chief of staff or right. something. Like, you know, yeah. he wasn't the.
Well, I mean, they were calling him Philip.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. in the book, he didn't have that name until after they created it for the show.
Right.
Yeah, but, you know, they can cut out a lot of stuff. With the introduction of Jesus, which I'm thinking happens before Christmas.
Yeah.
It'll ramp it up a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the hilltop, they have to find the hilltop and they have to kind of make right. the agreements and stuff that they have with that community before what happens to Glenn
well,
happens.
Well, in the book, they made it where it was more they knew about the hilltop, but they didn't tell Rick and his group about the hilltop
right.
until Jesus showed up.
Right.
And then it was like, you know, well, we got to tell them now.
Yeah.
And that, but, you know, I don't think things like Carl getting shot and being, you know, deformed.
You don't think that's going to
happen? I don't
think
it's going to happen.
What do you think of all the talk with, like, you know, Rick cut his hand when he was killing off a den of wolves? Like, everyone's like, oh, he's going to lose his hand now and all that. But like,
I think people just get hopeful that things from the comic book are going to happen on the show.
But he cut his left hand and he lost his right hand.
Right. So, and like, it's an obvious thing where they can yeah. blue screen his left hand off.
Right.
And he can still use his right hand. It won't be the matter of him having to learn how to use his left hand.
Which, again, was awesome for right. Rick because he's one of these characters, like, both comic and TV show, where, like, he seems to always have it together. To watch him struggle and then to watch him adopt that, like, hatchet
oh, yeah.
was really, really cool. I read something the other day, and I don't believe any of this at all, but it was saying that Andrew Lincoln wants off the show.
No.
And it's like, he's like the most fan-friendly star.
If you watch Talking Dead, he enjoys what he's doing.
Yeah.
And, you know,
he records messages for them
yeah.
like, all the time. Like, someone who wants off the show
right.
doesn't do that.
It, I mean, any production, especially, like, in Georgia, I mean, if anybody...
the hot.
Yeah, if you live in Georgia, you know, but if you visited Georgia, it's a hot mess. I mean,
right.
it literally is a hot mess down there, especially in the summertime. And I mean, I've been down there Labor
yeah.
Day weekend
oh, yeah.
in the middle of the city, and it's god awful hot. And it's one of those things where that's probably the roughest thing they deal with because all these people seem like they get along great. I mean, mm. when they're together, it looks like a family together. And, you know, I don't see any
yeah,
problems.
And I mean, you've been to conventions where
yeah.
there have been multiple cast members
oh,
there,
yeah.
and
yeah.
they're always like, you know, and you've always brought the stories back where they're joking around and
they joke with each other
they
joke with the fans
and,
they
yeah,
you know they'll so. They'll walk out into the crowd. I mean, you know, Norman's well known for just coming in and popping up
right
at things and that,
just
but,
random things yeah
you know yeah even ones that have been killed off, you know,
yeah.
they have nothing but positive
like
things
Michael
to
Rooker
say.
You know, they all like
oh
just
yeah Rooker
love him,
Rooker
so.
Is just, you know, a storm. But John Bernthal, I mean, you
yeah.
know, the guy played a really bad guy,
yeah,
but he's cool. And that, and it's like, you know, Sarah Wayne Callies, met her. She was
mm-hmm.
cool. And, you know, most of the cast has been cool to meet
yeah.
in person. And they don't have anything negative to say, like, on panels and that about
right,
the
right.
show and that. And it's not one of those things where it's they're told that. They come off genuine as, you know, loved working on the show.
Right.
Would have loved to stay on the show longer.
Yeah.
But Andrew Lincoln, I don't think he's ever going to leave. I mean, you know, if he takes a break, that's fine, because they got enough characters that if he needed to be off for like 4 or 5 episodes, yeah,
he could go on like a vision quest. Yeah, of
he
some
could.
Kind
he could be or... somewhere, you know, and that. And I mean, that's the easy part of the show is that there are enough cast members now that you can do stories.
And cast members that you care about. So,
exactly.
I will say this though: we're 3 episodes in, like maybe 2 hours of like real time has passed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing has happened.
Nothing but a lot.
Like, I mean, there's been a lot of death.
But it's all been Alexandrians.
And yeah, like, nothing has, like, really happened. And you know, this is where I run into problems with the show. Like, if Glenn is dead, announce it at the beginning of the first, the this week's episode.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, and then move on, or, you know, have them mourn or whatever while moving on with the story.
But I don't think that's going to happen this week. Looks like a Morgan-centric episode. Even
it's
though it's
90
an hour
minutes,
and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an hour and a half episode. I think it's going to be, you know, showing what's going on at Alexandria.
Yeah.
But it's going to do the flashbacks to what happened to Morgan between the time that he left, you know, wherever in Georgia.
Yeah,
because
that little
was,
town
yeah,
where he was holed up in the apartment.
Well, no, I think it's going to go back and show what happened to his son.
Yeah.
And I think they'll flash back that far and show why he...
See, I don't know if that's an episode we need. Like, I kind of really like the idea.
I would like to
idea.
See how he learned what he learned.
See, I like the idea of, like, not knowing that.
Yeah.
Like, it just adds mystery. And, you know, it's that whole thing, like, learning Wolverine's name, learning the Joker's name, you know, that kind of stuff where it's like... I like imagining it,
yeah,
and that kind of stuff, and being able to
yeah, you
want to
create
cool.
your own story,
right?
And that, but I think it's the matter of I don't think Morgan's going to be around super long.
No,
this year maybe it'll be it. I mean, you know, he did die in Alexandria in the book. Right. That is a spoiler, but you know, he did die in the book.
I wonder if they'll do the thing with him and Michonne.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But it'll be him and Carol. Because Carol's the new Michonne.
Well, the thing is they've talked about Carol taking his lead and changing her lifestyle to be like his. I'm like, that's not happening
like,
either.
She's seen enough where I think she understands that, like, that's a nice to have in the world they live in.
Yeah.
But you can't just, like, give people a stern warning and be like, don't you come back now.
Yeah.
And expect them to stay away.
Right. It's just not going to work.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, Walking Dead, it is what it is. We're going to keep watching.
And keep talking about it.
And talking.
Well, we've only got 3 episodes or 4 episodes?
4. This will be the 4th coming up. It's 8 episodes and then 8 episodes back in like February or March, whenever they're doing it.
February is usually what they do.
All right. So before we get into all the Halloween stuff we have, you brought the Marvel Collector Core.
Yeah.
I guess... Would this you call month, this a blind box? You know, it's just a giant blind box.
It is a giant blind box. It's, you know, and eventually everybody gets spoiled. And if you're listening to this, if you don't want to know what's in it, if you're doing these and you haven't got it, skip ahead.
Jump ahead a few minutes.
Yeah.
We're
going to open it. Like, I already opened it. So
I did the nerd block.
And I did
for a couple months. And you did Loot Crate, right?
Loot Crate and canceled it in the middle of the summer because they just got worse and worse.
I did 2 months of Nerd Block, and it was 2 black t-shirts, 1 Deadpool pop with the mask off and his scarred up face, which was like, it was the X-Force version.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like everybody has that one. It wasn't anything special. And I think that same month it was when Loot Crate did the exclusive Groot where he was like glow in the dark.
Oh, that very first one. Yeah.
And it's like, well, you know, if this is how it's going to be, I gave it a second month. I didn't like anything in this. I gave everything in the second box except the t-shirt, which I donated to my nephew because it was like a bunch of Boba Fett stuff.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So,
yeah. And Loot Crate I did for a year. I think it was a year.
Did you do a whole year? Oh, wow.
I think I did a whole year. And the last probably 4 weren't that great to me. There wasn't like enough in there to make it an incentive.
Sure.
To keep it. And finally, the last one I had got was like, you know, the nail in the coffin.
Right.
So I was like, you know, I enjoy these type of things, the blind boxes and that type of stuff. And the collector core was doing a good job. And Rob, my friend, gave me the 2 mystery minis out of the Ant-Man one.
Oh, cool.
And I was looking online and bought the patches from the first 2,
okay.
which was the Ant-Man and the Avengers.
Oh, okay.
And I just was like, you know what? $25 a month. It's like, even just the patches were quality, and the pins, the patch and the pin is what I bought. And those were quality themselves.
Cool.
And I'm like, $25, you're going to get a lot of stuff in this. And the first, the what sold me was the one that I subscribed to was Secret Wars.
Yeah. And so like the difference between like those other two and Marvel is this is actually from Funko.
Yeah. It says it on the back of the box. It says powered by Funko.
And so now there's the Marvel one. There's a Disney one. There's a Star Wars
one.
Have
they announced the Disney one? I think there's a Disney one.
I thought
they announced Star Wars. Smuggler's Bounty is, I think, about 14 days before the subscription's over from today.
Right. And I think I might do that one just to get the chrome-plated Captain Phasma.
And see
I just want that chrome-plated Captain Phasma. And
I if
might
it's
just
anything
one
like
month.
This one, I mean,
yeah. So let's see what's in it. Why don't you go ahead and open up? And we'll post pictures.
I opened it last night, so I know what's in it. But
yeah, we'll post some pictures or do like
probably
a little
video. Wait until next week and post some pictures.
Yeah.
So nobody's spoiled. Okay. So when you open it up, literally, like, this is everyone. You open the top, and it has the pin and the patch on it.
Oh, cool. And it's
so this month
Green
is
Goblin.
Villains. It says it on the front of the box. It's villains. So the pin is Green Goblin, and the patch is the Red Skull.
And which can you take the patch out?
They're stuck on there.
Oh, they're stuck on there.
Yeah, I haven't
like,
taken them off.
I mean, it looks like a really
yeah, they're
nice
really, like, stuck on there good. So
and,
it's,
like, that pin is, like, thick. It's like those Disney pins.
The pin.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. So then I open it up. And there's an Invincible Iron Man number one.
Oh, cool.
Collector Core variant. It looks like it's zombies and Iron Man on the cover.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you were reading Secret Wars, the wall.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it looks like he got dumped down in there. I like the MODOK.
Yeah.
That's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, right. So then it's a t-shirt.
And it's a gray t-shirt, which is awesome.
Yeah, and they do, I think the size goes up 3X.
Yeah.
And it has an alien symbiote on the front, and it says Marvel on it.
Cool.
And then it has the Goblin and Red Skull and Thanos and the Infinity Gauntlet on it. I didn't open it yet because obviously I just got this yesterday.
Right.
Which, look at the inside of the box. I
mean, yeah, it's really cool. Like, it's got a bunch of cool, like, just comic panels.
Yeah, they just throw villain comic panels on this one. The Secret Wars had stuff that
was
going on.
Was it from the
Secret
original
Wars.
Secret Wars? Or
no,
the
it was the
one.
Current one.
See, that's even cooler.
Yeah, and it had two pops in it.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because this one has...
This
at
one
least one
has,
pop, and
it
looks
has
like
a
Dorb.
A Dorb and a pop keychain.
Oh, cool.
In it. So the pop keychain is Venom.
Nice.
It's a little bobblehead.
So it's like the little bobblehead that you see at like Target by the Pokemon cards
which,
with Batman.
I don't know
Daenerys
if they put out a Venom one.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah. But the pop is exclusive to the box. The Dorb.
Yeah,
I
this
don't...
is a Marvel Collector Core exclusive. So
yeah. And the Dorb is a Collector Core.
Oh, cool. And it's Loki.
Box, and it's Loki. And then the the coolest thing
that
was
that
they try to keep the pops unique to the
box.
Let's
if the pop is a secret.
Yeah.
Have you seen it out there? Has anybody said what
I haven't
it
seen
is
it yet?
Okay, so we're not going to say what the pop is.
Yeah.
But I will say it's really freaking cool.
And there's two versions of it. If you look at the back of the box when you get it, so you're going to get one or the other. You're not going to get them both in the box. And I got the one I want. So
yeah,
I'm
I like your version.
Yeah.
Better
but these it's a quality box, and like I said, I'm going to check out Smuggler's Bounty, so obviously you see what you're going to get. So
yeah, no, this is cool. I you know, it's for me, it's
I mean,
kind
it's
of
a sturdy
been...
box.
Yeah,
and it gets a little beat up and dinged up, but it's
but,
supposed
I mean, that's
to
just
I mean,
in postage.
Yeah,
so.
But what's nice is like they'll put the address label on the bottom.
Yeah,
so the box is kind of collectible too.
Yeah.
And I think that the boxes actually might become collectible eventually. So
hang on to
it. But yeah, it's a cool box. And like I said, I think, has that Loki actually been released?
I haven't seen this one. I haven't seen a Loki Dorbs yet.
Oh, maybe he is a Collector Core exclusive then.
I mean, I've seen...
But
know,
literally the pop says exclusive on it. The Dorb does not.
Well, I mean, it says right there, Marvel Collector Core exclusive on the box. Okay. There's just no sticker.
Okay.
Just like the Venom.
See, I didn't. I haven't. I looked at these late last night. Yeah. So,
but
so yeah, it's a cool thing. I'm, you know, for $25 a month plus you pay shipping. But I mean, you go into a store. Most stores are selling pops for $10.
Yeah,
$10 to $15. This is an exclusive one that is at least worth $20 by itself. if not 25. Last month in the Secret War, it had 2 pops.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
I mean, for the 3 of these, for the keychain, the dorbs, and the pop.
In a store, you're paying
about $25. More than $25.
Yeah. The t-shirt, you know, a t-shirt in a store is not cheap anymore.
No, it's a free shirt, basically.
And I mean, it's $5 comic book.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're getting more. I think they even say you get like about $50 worth of product a month. So.
I mean, I know a lot of companies are doing this now. Like superhero stuff has their own version of this.
Right.
Where you can pick like the level. So they have like 3 different levels.
Right, yeah.
Which, I mean, it's pretty cool. So.
And I think Funko might actually be talking to DC about doing this too. So
cool.
That'd be cool if they do that.
I would like to see like some new DC pops on the market that aren't.
Like exclusives and that. I mean, this the character that's a pop in this has never been done before.
No. And I'm kind of bummed I don't have him.
So. He'll be out there.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. Awesome. Thanks for sharing.
No problem. Yeah. I thought that people would be interested to actually hear about this stuff because I haven't heard
there's
it.
There's your pop. About. There's nothing left to give you
where's
back.
My Loki?
There was no Loki.
There was a Loki.
There's your Loki. All right.
Unless
so, hey,
Tom
guys.
Hiddleston comes in here and wants my Loki. Nobody's getting my Loki.
That just sounds really dirty.
Tom Hiddleston can have my Loki.
Goodness. All right. Oh, bother. All right. So it's Halloween, guys. We're excited. What are you dressing up as?
Nothing.
Yeah.
I have to work, actually.
I'm gonna dress up as a guy taking his kid out for
that'll be a good costume.
While she's dressed up as Hermione Granger.
You should have dressed up as Hagrid.
Hagrid. I can't grow a beard.
You could have wore a wig.
Oh, God, that would drive me nuts.
Oh, an itchy wig?
Yeah. All right. But anyway, so, you know, Halloween, it's a great time of year. Horror movies, scary stuff, TV shows.
Yeah.
A lot of them have Halloween-centric episodes. The Goldbergs last night.
Yeah.
He dressed up as RoboCop.
Nice.
And she, his mom, dressed up as Ed 209 or whatever the number was.
Yeah, 209. Yeah.
And it looked awesome. So I'm really looking forward to watching the episode later tonight. But yeah, so we put together just some short lists of some of our favorite just kind of horror Halloween related stuff. You want to talk movies first?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, we put together about 5 or 6 movies each, 5 or 6 comics each. And
mine's
5 or 6
more like 25 comics.
Well,
but
we're only going to do 5 for the sake of time. We'll list them all on the show notes. But, you know, for movies, I mean, for me, like, I'm a big Hitchcock fan.
Yeah.
So, like, Rear Window is my actual favorite Alfred Hitchcock movie.
Oh, okay.
Jimmy Stewart is awesome in it.
Yeah.
And there was a really interesting like kind of remake of it a couple years ago starring Shia LaBeouf called Suburbia.
Oh, okay.
Which was surprisingly really, really good.
I thought you were actually going to mention the Christopher Reeve one.
Well, yeah, there was the Christopher Reeve one. But like the Suburbia one was the kind of more modern take.
Yeah.
He was under house arrest.
Right.
Like his leg wasn't broken. But to me, Rear Window is my favorite Hitchcock movie.
Okay.
It is what it is. And you know, it's a great piece of filmmaking. You know, so that's kind of always my go-to, like, Halloween season.
Okay.
I think I've already watched it twice this year.
Oh, wow. Okay. So,
like, in the last couple of weeks.
So, yeah, and the movies we're talking about are horror movies. So
horror-esque.
It's not, yeah, it's not Halloween-related. It's, you know, either psychological or, you know, torture horror or whatever. It's a little bit of everything.
Torture porn.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Hostel.
Which you have one on your list. So.
Well, but it's not. And I'll argue why it's not in a second. But
yeah.
You had one to kick off that like I know I'd heard of.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to track it down at some point. Maybe next year.
Maybe next year. Or I'll dig it out and bring it over or whatever and you can watch it.
But
I was surprised you had never seen it.
It's an actual anthology movie.
Yeah. It's called Trick or Treat.
And it came out in 2007.
Correct. It's directed and written by Michael Daugherty. He had written the X2 and Superman Returns. He's done a few other things, too. So it's 5 stories, all happening on Halloween night. And pretty much everything has to do with Halloween. There's one character that shows up throughout each of the stories. And, you know, he's kind of an iconic character now. His name's Sam.
Cool.
And it's, I don't want to say anything because if you haven't seen it, it's just an enjoyable movie to see. I'd seen it at a friend's house and immediately bought it, like, right after I seen it.
Yeah.
So Anna Paquin's in it.
Yeah, it's got Tom O'Pinkett in it, so yeah. I'm totally going to go see it. So Hilo from Battlestar
Galactica. He's kind of the bumper story.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Brian Cox. You know, it's a few people from The X, too, because...
Yeah, him, Anna Paquin.
Yeah, this movie was a movie where it was supposed to be released in theaters, and I think it got a limited release.
Yeah.
What is it? In Austin.
Oh, South by Southwest?
South by Southwest. Yeah. I think they might have played it there, and I think it played at the Alamo Draft House.
Okay.
But it was pretty much direct-to-video. It sat on the shelf for a long time. I didn't even know about it. I read about it in Horror Hound magazine and was like, this sounded kind of interesting. And then, like I said, watched it at a friend's house. Dylan Baker's in it.
Yeah.
From the previous Spider-Man movies to the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies. But it's a fun movie. Cool. It doesn't move slow, but it's fun to watch it in pieces.
Yeah.
I guess.
You know? I mean, it's an anthology, so you can sit down and you can enjoy part of it, go do something else, come back and watch it a couple days later. Awesome. So my second movie is Saw.
Okay.
Which is the one you're referring to as torture porn. Where I will argue that it's not, because they don't actually show gore. Like when Cary Elwes goes to cut his leg off.
Right.
You never see the saw actually go into his
leg. I've never seen this movie.
And so, what
it is.
And the reason I like it is because of that. It's very Hitchcockian that way.
Yeah.
Like Alfred Hitchcock never showed the knife going.
Yeah. The next birds ones out. In the series were more the torture porn.
The second one was more like in the vein. And the third one was where the series lost me because it just turned in to just torture porn.
Right.
But no, Saw is it's an awesome thriller. It's just a scary ass movie.
Right.
To think about waking up in the basement bathroom of someplace tied down to the floor.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I found literally that terrifying.
They're chained to put pieces of the building. Right?
Please don't ever do that to me. Anyone out there. That would be awful. I would hate you forever.
I know what you're getting for Christmas.
Hey Brian, smell this rag.
Yeah, it won't even be that. I'll just be like, I'll just come in quietly and put it over your face.
All right. So then your next one is
Fright Night.
Now
the original Fright Night.
Did you and I go see the remake with David Tennant together?
No, we did not.
No. Okay.
We seen it around the same time, though.
Yeah.
The original Fright Night's from 1980. What is it? 87, 85. 85. Sorry, I'm reading off a piece of paper. That one was written and directed by Tom Holland, who had been in a few... he's an actor, actually, and he's done a few other things. He did Child's Play.
Yeah.
And Chris Sarandon is in this, and Roddy McDowall. I think it was one of Roddy's last movies.
Mm-hmm.
And William Ragsdale is in it.
Okay.
And it's... pretty much like if you haven't seen it or you haven't seen the remake, it's about a kid who thinks he sees a vampire move in next door. And just it's pretty much from there, him trying to figure out how to convince people that there is a vampire living next door.
There's a vampire in my town.
Yeah, pretty much. And I just this movie's always been a favorite of mine. And that for a long time, it wasn't out on VHS or DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And it finally pretty much got released a few years ago. And I think Fright Night 2 still hasn't been released out on DVD.
Oh, really?
You can get bootlegs of it, I'm pretty sure, but you can't really. And it's just a continuation of the story. And it's actually pretty cool, too.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
It's a fun movie.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I actually kind of enjoyed the remake.
The remake wasn't bad. This is one where I wasn't mad at the remake.
I like Anton Yelchin, or however you say it. He's just, he picks, for a young kid, he picks some pretty hard roles.
They didn't do, an exact remake, because, I mean, the original takes place in a small California town.
Right, this is and, Las Vegas
yeah,
or whatever.
The second, the remake took, and David Tennant is not Roddy McDowall.
No.
So, it was just, it's a totally different story, so I wasn't mad at it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, yeah, calling it Fright Night was fine. And Chris Sarandon has a little cameo in the remake too. So it's fun.
So, all right. So like my next one, I'm just going to kind of lump three in together at once. Cause they're all relatively in the same vein. Shaun of the Dead.
Okay.
Which I love the hell out of that movie. 28 Days Later, where I'm, understand the argument, it's not really zombies, it's,
yeah,
you know,
anger monsters,
drug addicts, because the rage,
yeah,
or whatever, the sickness, and then Night of the Living Dead.
Are you both Night of the Living Deads or
no, just the original Romero's? Romero, the very first one.
Okay.
Like kind of these three encapsulate like my zombie obsession.
Okay.
All for different reasons.
Well, yeah, they're totally different movies,
and, I mean, and they're three very, very different movies. Yeah. The like with Shaun of the Dead, there's like just that skewed look at like what would happen in a zombie apocalypse. Yeah. Because, I mean, let's face it, like Shaun and Ed, like,
oh yeah, sure,
we're pretty much
you associate with the characters more because it's characters who are the geeks and do know about this stuff, and you know when they realize it's real. It's like, what do we do?
I mean, I could imagine a zombie apocalypse happening and you and I having conversations that Ed and Sean had. So, you know, there's that part of it. And then, you know, the whole idea of going to the pub. You know, it's just, it's ridiculous and hilarious. But, like, if you think about it, where would you be safer?
Well, right. You know? They figure out the safest place for them is the place that they feel the safest.
Exactly.
Right.
Then 28 Days Later, just the pacing of that movie. You know, it was, I really, really love that movie. I've watched it a bunch of times. I didn't care for 28 Weeks Later.
Yeah.
As much, just because it seemed like they mopped everything up at the end of 28 Days Later. And then the studio came back and said, well, no, they're not right.
Right. Yeah. You haven't seen 28 Months Later. So
that hasn't happened yet, has it?
It happened at the end of that, 28 Weeks Later. They kind of did
That's right. But like, you know, the movie hasn't.
This is what might happen.
Yeah.
And it showed Paris and showed the rage that got out of England.
And I did like the idea of the rage. You know, like it was just different. And like, you know, it explained why the creatures were running.
Well, and it's a matter of this movie's more showing the psychological impact on people. And that's what the horror is. The horror is not the rage. The horror is what it does to the normal people.
Yeah, the people on the run.
Yeah, the people who aren't infected are, you know, Christopher Eccleston is really awesome in this
movie. And what's his name? He was the Scarecrow in Batman Begins.
Oh, God, I can't remember his name.
Anyway.
Sorry.
he was awesome in it as well. And then Night of the Living Dead is really what kind of kicked everything off.
Yeah, I mean,
cinematically, and you know, for as old as it is, it holds up amazingly well. Being black and white, it just is even more scary. And because of this, and I've said this to you a few times, and I've said it on the show, I wish The Walking Dead was always in black and white.
Well, yeah, and it's the whole thing that Kirkman did that in the comic book for the fact that he was a fan of this movie. And that's why the book is black and white.
It adds a level of suspense.
Right.
Just visually that is really hard to capture any other way. And it really shows that, hey, this is a different world and you have to look at it differently.
Right.
And I like that.
Well, and the use of shadow.
Yeah.
The use of shadow in this. And, you know, I'm a fan of Romero's and I'm a fan of Tom Savini's updated version for different reasons. This movie is just a dark, scary movie because it's dark. And you know, everybody talks about the social changes and that because the main character the was black.
That too.
I mean, you know, that was cool. I mean, you know, back then in the 60s to have, you know, a black guy be pretty much your main character of your movie was unheard of for a lot of movies.
Yeah, I mean, it's 1968. It was just one of those things. And I love it. It's I saw it way too young. I was too young to really understand it, but like it was good enough
as you
that
get
it stuck
older,
with me and like as I go back
you
and watch
older,
it every time. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have a few more on here.
Yeah, Hellraiser is another one of my and it's kind of torture porn too.
Yeah
It was torture porn before the torture porn, actually.
Well, Pinhead just became such an iconic
Right.
Like, just
right.
demon character.
Yeah. And, I mean, literally never was called Pinhead in that movie at all.
Right.
And, you know, just the Cenobites themselves were, you know, frightening images. Clive Barker really, like, does a good job writing and visually giving you frightening characters. I mean, I've enjoyed a lot of the stuff he's done. So, you know, it's one of those things where I don't know how to describe my like of the movie, because it is kind of a weird movie to me.
Right.
And that, but I just enjoy the story. I think it's just, you know, a cool story.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
And there's no winner at the end
of it. No, there's not,
yeah.
Which is what makes it different.
Yeah, I think that's
why,
probably why I like
films.
That, yeah. And yeah. The sequel was, I think, a decent sequel to do
two,
to...
Right.
Yeah, Hellbound.
Yeah.
Hellraiser 2. Hellraiser 3, I had never seen until a couple of days ago, and...
I don't think I've still ever seen it.
Yeah, it's... The Cenobites are cool.
Yeah.
I could say the Cenobites are cool in that.
Cool, cool.
Yeah.
And then you had...
The Silence of the Lambs.
Which is a masterpiece.
Yeah. And it's definitely a horror movie. I don't know. It's got a procedural to it, but it's definitely a horror movie and probably has one of the best horror villains ever.
Hannibal Lecter. Yeah,
Hannibal Lecter.
Absolutely.
Well, and Buffalo Bill. I mean, yeah.
It puts, you know, I can't tell you how many times I like look at my kid and I'm like, it puts the lotion on the skin.
Oh.
And she's like, needs to like, you know, like she's got like little eczema or something.
Oh, sure, yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
I can't just say, hey, put lotion on that. I'm like, it puts the lotion on the skin.
Yeah, well, it's in your head. That's why.
But, yeah. No, I mean, that, again, it's a great one. I enjoy watching it.
Yeah.
Again, this one came out when I was in high school. And you know, it was just one of those like formative movies for me.
And there's, as much as I enjoyed the movie, there was a couple years ago, I think it was... Biography Channel did a documentary.
Oh, really?
On it, they do these documentaries on movies. Mm-hmm. And they did one on this, and the movie is very fascinating. The documentary is as fascinating to see what was
just
happening.
Just the making of.
Yeah, what was going on and what they were doing. Jonathan Demme really liked messing with Jodie Foster and that, and getting Anthony Hopkins to do things. And Anthony
right.
Hopkins... will do things himself to mess with people,
right,
but
right, right.
There's a lot of cool stories that happened behind the scenes on that movie.
Yeah. I mean, Jonathan Demme he's a great director.
Yeah.
You know, Philadelphia.
Right.
The Manchurian Candidate remake with Denzel,
yeah,
which was
yeah.
actually not a horrible
not
movie.
Yeah.
You know, the original was iconic, so.
Well, sure.
But yeah, no, I mean, it was what it was. And, you know, at the time it was really like, that, and then a few years later, The Usual Suspects, where like it was this like kind of new genre of thrillers,
yeah, yeah,
that had a procedure to it,
yeah.
So yeah,
and definitely, I mean, you know, Jodie Foster knocks it out of the park. I wish she would have came back for the sequel, but
yeah,
you know,
what are you gonna do?
Yep.
All right, and then my last one, and like I actually asked you before I put this on the list because I wasn't sure if it qualified or not, but it's a sci-fi horror. And yes, I'm going to preface this. I understand it's not like the best movie ever, but Event Horizon.
Who says that?
I've heard people say that.
Really?
I've had people tell me that I didn't think
really?
That it wasn't a good movie. That movie scared the crap out of me.
It has frightening elements to it, like very frightening elements.
Sam Neill was so perfect because of the way his eyes like kind of like pop out of his head. Like
yeah.
Just the shape of his face
right.
helped make that scary. Jack Noseworthy was really good in the little like bit role that he had. Lawrence
right.
Fishburne, amazing.
Oh,
Julie
yeah.
Fisher.
I think everybody. Yeah.
Julie Richardson. But I remember I saw this movie in the theater probably four times.
Wow.
And we went and saw it. The last time we saw it was at the Dollar Theater, and I'll never ever forget this. We're sitting in the movie theater. The movie's about to start, and this old lady like, and I say old like. She was obviously not the mom of these kids.
Right.
So I'm assuming grandma, maybe older aunt, something like that. They sit down like a couple rows in front of us. And, you know, I'm a high school kid. And I kind of like went over and I tapped her. I'm like, this is a really scary movie. You might not want these little kids to see that. I mean, they were maybe 10.
Wow. Okay.
And,
yeah, when like 10-year-old
she looks at me and she goes, it's a space movie. There's spaceships in it. It's probably like Star Wars.
Wow.
And so I just kind of did the old like hand washing, like, yeah, like, and I was like, all right, I'm done. So that opening scene, Samuel's wife, bathtub, slit, slit.
Right.
They hightail it out of there. Yeah. And my buddy was like, he tried to warn you. So, you know, I mean, yeah, it's just one of those ones where like it gets dark. It starts dark and it gets darker.
It gets darker.
And
right.
You know, it's just kind of like, you know.
But if you watch the trailer, I mean, you can find the trailer online.
Yeah.
If you watch the trailer, it doesn't look like anything that you like literally are watching. I mean, I think what Lawrence Fishburne had been coming off was coming off The Matrix.
No.
At that point. I thought that this was after The Matrix.
It might have been.
Yeah. And that means Sam Neill was coming off of Jurassic Park.
Yeah, it was 97.
Yeah.
That's when it came out.
Okay, so it was right before The Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
And that, but I mean, you know, everybody in that movie had been around for a little bit.
Right.
And oh, yeah. I mean, Sam Neill had
Kathleen Quinlan had done a ton of stuff.
Yeah, Sam Neill had been in The Mouth of Madness.
Yeah.
And that, so it's like
Jason Isaacs. I mean, like, he's in everything, it seems like.
Right.
It was directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, who, you know.
What, Mortal Kombat was right before this? Or did he direct Mortal Kombat?
No. There's two Paul Andersons out there. There's Paul W. Anderson, I think. But, I mean, he did the Resident Evil films.
Didn't I think he Paul did W. do Mortal Kombat?
Hold on, let me look.
That would have been 94? We're kind of going off track.
Yeah,
sorry, guys.
Yeah, he did Mortal Kombat. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
95.
Okay, yeah. And I think like this is the reason I watched Event Horizon was because of that, because I enjoyed Mortal Kombat. And
he did Alien versus Predator and Pompeii. I mean, so he's like, I mean, he's hit or miss.
Yeah, he does good stuff and then he does.
You know, he's
working director.
He's done the Resident Evil movies. He did that Three Musketeer with Mila Jovovich.
Yeah,
or Mila Jovovich, however you say it.
Well, he's married to her. So.
Yeah, so lucky guy.
But yeah, this movie is frightening.
Yeah,
it's a different kind of frightening. And I mean, I wouldn't pause the video that they watch of what happens on the ship. I wouldn't pause that because there's some vicious stuff in there.
It's like the Reavers scene in Serenity.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's like, kind of...
But it's an entire movie.
Right, yeah.
It's not just an isolated little incident.
Right.
So maybe that's where the Reavers came from. Joss Whedon saw that and was like, hey, wait a second. All right. And then your last movie.
John Carpenter's Halloween.
It's a given, right?
Yeah.
And
it's John Carpenter's Halloween, not Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Did you watch Rob Zombie's Halloween?
I seen it in a theater.
Okay. So you know how you get like the backstory of Michael Myers?
Yeah.
That should have just been what his movie was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
I think I told you that when I was sitting there watching it, and I was the only one in the theater that day watching that movie.
Right.
And I said I should have gotten up when they put him in the sanitarium and he escaped and went home and watched it, because it literally goes from being a good setup of the movie to nothing like what it should have been. And it should have been, he should have just went and did John Carpenter's movie at the end and just made a little bit more blood in it. Instead, he did like the House of a Thousand Corpses with Michael Myers.
Right. Like the original Halloween. Fantastic.
Yeah. And I don't hate
Gary
Zombies Halloween at all, but it's not, I don't love it. Like I love Carpenter's. Carpenter's movie is, it builds up.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Jaws. Jaws builds up, and then the end of the movie is literally the
payoff,
only time that you really have
Michael,
Jaws, and you have Michael's, you know, Michael pops up throughout the movie and that with the William Shatner mask on.
Right.
But I mean, the payoff is the end, and you know, it's just a good movie.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, John Carpenter, I don't think I've seen a really bad John Carpenter movie.
You know, the original Halloween, totally scary. Rob Zombie's Halloween, I would have loved if it was him as a kid, him in the sanitarium, show more of the sanitarium stuff that like led him to be.
And then at the end he escapes
and
then
that's
it.
He escapes and maybe you show like a little bit of like carnage before he gets to the first time we see him in John Carpenter's Halloween.
Right.
And then like, you know, there's a to be continued. Michael Myers will return in John Carpenter's Halloween. Something, you know, something kind of campy and fun. But,
right.
You know, hey, you know, there's a ton of great horror movies that we
there's a lot of stuff I left off the list,
you know, myself included. Yeah. You know, I definitely tend to steer more towards like zombies, the like thriller-esque, or like, you know, even like non-sparkly vampires.
I'm all over the place.
The Friday the 13th, the Halloweens, like I enjoy them. They're not necessarily my bag.
Right.
Like The Exorcist. I love The Exorcist.
Sure. Yeah.
The, what was it? The Amityville Horror.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Just watched it recently.
I saw that when I was a little kid. Like, again, way young to see that. I have not watched that movie since I was probably like 10 or 11 years old.
Wow.
I didn't watch the remake. Just want nothing. I've seen that house.
Yeah.
In real life. Yeah. Like, I've been to New Jersey and seen the house. And, yeah, it just like, for whatever reason, because I had known about the story.
Right.
And I had seen the house in person, and then I saw the movie, and it's like, this is too real for my tiny little brain to adjust to. Like, I've just never gone back to it.
Okay.
So.
All right.
All right, so that's movies. So, you know, this show's about comic books.
Yes.
Yeah. Typically. But, like, you know, I mean, honestly, without comic books, like, most of this stuff never happens.
Right.
Like, to be honest, I mean,
you know. Well, yeah, Tales from the Crypt is, like, I mean, Tales from the Crypt was a comic book, yeah. And that's where a lot of, I think, you know, the guys that we enjoy doing these movies, especially like John Carpenter and stuff like that, that's where they got a lot of their inspiration from, was that type of stuff.
And this, it's beautiful that you use that word inspiration.
Yeah.
Like, they're not just taking and copying that stuff.
No,
they're literally using this as inspiration to create their own things.
Yeah.
But yeah, so for comics, we have a pretty different list. I don't read a lot of horror comics.
Yeah,
and again, this was the thing. I was like, "Do you consider this horror?"
Yeah, you were asking me like, "What's horror and what's not?" And it's like,
well, because
there's a lot of stuff, and especially now because I mean, there's a lot of crossover.
Yeah,
and that between stuff, and I mean,
and you still haven't seen
like a superhero horror movie
with this giant list of things.
Yeah, I think what I got like 25 books probably listed on here.
We're gonna talk about like 5 of them.
Yeah,
like for me, it's like there's not a lot there, and there was one on my list, and I'll just leave with it, Lock and Key.
Yeah,
where you're like, that's horror, and so I'm like, is that horror because it's horror,
or
is
that horror think about it
because Joe Hill, Stephen King's son, wrote it?
I haven't read it, but from what I've looked at, you know, because I flipped through it and that, it is horror, but it is a different kind of horror because it has a lot of different elements. It's
very supernatural, so
if we're gonna supernatural count is that as a horror, form of horror,
I love that book. My buddy David, who is he does videos for Collider. He does the Flash After Show.
Okay.
He did Arrow last year. He for years was like, you need to read this book, and I'm like, I'll get to it. Comixology had the first 3 trades, whatever, on sale because it was right around when the last trade was coming out.
Did he do it like, was it a continuous numbered book or was it done in separate stories?
It's a continually numbered book, but it was still separate, like,
right. So, well, it's like, kind of like the Sandman,
but there's no big gaps, you know. It's like this happens, it's books 1 and 2 are act 1, books 3 and 4 are act 2, and then books 5 and 6
I mean, the Sandman kind of had the same setup where you know, it was the same characters, different stories.
Yeah, I mean, like,
and how many trades was it?
There were 6 volumes. 6.
Okay.
I mean, it like I can't stress enough like how good the story is.
Right.
Like the different things that happen, the different kind of keys that show up, you know. And you would think, "Oh, well, they'll use keys for a crutch to get the heroes out of things." No. There were keys that like would make the heroes' lives just miserable.
Right.
And it wasn't like a villain was like, "Oh, well, you know, the bad guy would use it to get out of it." I mean, he would use it because he's looking for the Omega Key.
Okay.
And so the whole idea is there's this house in Lovecraft, Massachusetts.
Right.
Called the Key House. And there are these different keys that unlock different powers, abilities, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
Like, you know, there's one where you can use it and any door you open, it'll just take you to where you want it to go.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, so just like teleportation. Yeah, so
this book kind of has a sci-fi element to it.
There's one where...
I mean, I've read Joe Hill did an anthology where it was Ghost Stories of the 21st Century or 20th Century. I can't remember. but it's where he doesn't just do straight up horror. Right. He's not, Joe Hill is Stephen King's son, in case anybody doesn't know that. Stephen King pretty much does straight up horror, but then does books that aren't straight up horror.
Right.
Joe mixes.
Yeah, it's a great
horror and sci-fi.
Like,
and
he did The Cape.
Yeah.
And that was a nice mix of like just horror and science fiction.
Right,
and,
yeah.
And thriller. No, but I was going to say there's one key where it only works on a certain door. You unlock the door with this key, and as you step out, your body dies and your soul separates from your body.
Wow.
And you can go back into your body.
Okay.
But like you can go be a ghost and fly around. And it's just like, that's really cool.
That sounds interesting,
and,
yeah.
And it's the very first key that you see.
Okay.
And it becomes one of the most interesting plot points throughout the rest of the book. But yeah, so, you know, Lock and Key, if you haven't read it, it's done.
Definitive.
Go buy it. Definitive. Yeah.
Okay.
Get the trades. Don't get the individual issues because at the back of each of the trade, there's like a guide to found keys.
Okay.
So it's really cool.
So each book has all the keys that are in that book
that you found.
Okay.
Yeah. So far.
All right.
So, it's really, really cool. You know, again, I probably wouldn't have counted it as horror until you said, hey, you read this, it's horror. So, yeah. All right. So, and then your list starts off with...
Oh, 30 Days of Night.
Yeah. And these are in no particular order, guys.
Yeah, it's no particular order. I just wrote down stuff that, you know, made an impression on me. And this book was one that I was actually working at Queen City at the time it came out.
Yeah.
And I sat there and read it every month.
Oh, wow.
I didn't buy it. I bought the trade eventually when it came out.
Yeah.
But it was one where I read the first issue and I'm like, okay, I want more of this.
I didn't read it until I saw the preview for the movie.
And the movie didn't do
the
justice to it that the story did.
I think the one thing that the movie did really well was to introduce the idea of a feral vampire.
Yeah.
Because we'd never seen like... a truly feral vampire before.
Right.
It was always this like Euro trash, like Lestat.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, so 30 Days a Night. It's a good one.
I mean, it's one of those ones that, you know, I go back to and read it every once in a while.
Yeah.
And I never have read any of the sequels to it just because I want it to be just that story.
Sure.
And, you know, I did see the movie, but I don't remember the movie.
I kind of erased it. Crixus. Manu Bennett was in it and he killed himself and his family.
I don't even remember him being in it. So,
but all right. And then
Josh Hartnett, I think.
Yeah, Josh Hartnett.
That's the only thing I remember from that.
Which he was decent. Like,
yeah.
But he's a good actor. Like,
but it just,
he doesn't get a lot of credit.
It wasn't dark enough.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to take place in Barrow, Alaska during the dark time of the year.
Right, the 30 days.
And it's like, gee, there's a lot of lights on everywhere.
Yeah, like, it's like, okay, like. They can't film it with like night vision,
right?
But, like they can't. Like it was much.
Which that would have been kind of cool if they would have done like the scenes in the streets with night vision, and that. I mean, you could have done the inside stuff obviously with regular,
right?
But if they would have done the scenes in the street with night vision a couple times, probably would have helped it a little bit.
If they would have made the movie just like 5 or 6 years later, like everything would have had such a dark palette to anyways,
right?
It would have mattered, but all right. So the next book is one we both have, is The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
We don't really need to talk about that
anymore. Been reading it since the first issue, so.
I started reading it right before the first season of
show. Oh, wow. Okay.
But, I mean, it was the one where I got the compendium the phone book.
Yeah, it's like a phone book.
When our local Borders was going out of business, and I think I remember I told you, like, we went in when everything was, like, 90% off, and I was looking... in the biographies.
Yeah.
And someone had hit it there. Like some kid who worked there, obviously.
Probably, yeah.
Hit it, and I found it. And I was like, well, crap. I'm going to go ahead and buy this.
That would be the best way, like, you know.
And so it was 90% off, so I got it for $6.
Yeah.
Can't beat it.
And you hadn't read any of it.
I hadn't read any of it.
Right.
And then the series was coming out, and Comixology had the first 6 volumes for like $1.99 or something crazy. It was just like huge sale. It's like, all right. I'll buy the first 2 volumes and see, and then like the big omnibus, whatever. It's the first 48 issues.
Right.
So I got to the point where like I read the first 2 and then I went and I picked that up and I read the rest of it.
Yeah.
And I went back and I bought those digitally too.
Sure.
So I just have the whole run. But yeah, you know, it's a great comic book.
Just definitely like if you've just watched the TV show, read the comic book. It's much better than a TV show.
If you're not a fan of comics, this is a great comic book to read.
Yeah. I've turned so many people onto this book. Like, before the show, I was, like, pimping this book and that. So, you know, Kirkman, you're welcome.
You're welcome. All right. And then your next book, just in no particular order.
Oh, Swamp Thing. Yeah.
And you're talking the original...
I'm talking all of it, actually.
Swamp Thing? All even of, the new all 52 Swamp, Swamp Thing?
The new 52 Swamp Thing, I stopped reading after...
the Animal Man crossover?
I think it pretty much, like, the writer had left right after that.
Because it was it Jeff Lemire?
I think it might have been, yeah. I can't remember at this point. I'm sorry for that, but, you know. It's just been a good book over the years. Alan Moore's Swamp Thing is awesome. Lynn Wine and... can't think of his name. Lynn Wine was...
They had all of those writers at the Comic Expo a couple years ago.
Yeah, a few years ago, they had all the original Steve Bissett and Lynn Wine. And, yeah,
it's pretty cool.
I can't remember who else. Like, but
there were four of them?
Yeah. And it's just one of those books where it's sci-fi horror.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the imagination of a plant man running around and, you know, everybody trying to get him.
Right.
And there's been some really good stories and really bad stories over the years with that. It's just a favorite book.
Yeah. I've always thought Swamp Thing was okay.
It's one of those things where I usually, like, whenever they do a new incarnation of the series, I'll pick it up.
Check it out.
Read it. Yeah. And there's been ones where I've been like, no. And then there's been ones where I've been like, when the new 52 introduced Animal Man and Swamp Thing and had the
and
whole
being
thing
tied
with
together
the,
with
the
rot,
red
and
the
green.
And, yeah, the red and the green and that whole universe. They could have done that as a separate book in the whole.
Just on its
own.
Its
own, and it was really good.
I really liked when they introduced him in Brightest Day.
Yeah.
Because it was like that whole jungle forest thing. They grew up in the middle of Star City overnight, and like he was there.
Yeah.
In Galahad. You know, from Arthur's Round Table was there. That was a cool story, and it was all due to Swamp Thing.
Well, right, and it was the way they brought Swamp Thing back in from Vertigo to the regular DC universe.
And that figure, to tie it to the toys,
was
one of the coolest action figures DC Direct put out. And now that I'm thinking about it, I don't think I got it, so I'll have to have Buzz track that down for me.
Yeah.
All right, so my next comic would be The Strain.
Which is an adaptation, right?
It's an adaptation of the novel.
Guillermo del Toro, Chuck Hogan.
Novels.
Novels, right.
Which I it's on like it's like fourth or fifth, like it's like whatever, The Strain, Night Eternal now or something like that. Honestly, like the first like two like of those, whatever, like so there was The Strain and then whatever the second one was.
Right.
I was all in. I was reading it the day I got it. Like my interest has waned to the point where I still get it.
Well,
I
read the first book.
Yeah.
And the first book, I think what your first series is a direct adaptation of the first book.
Yes. And the first book was great.
I bought the first book like on a sale at Barnes & Noble just because I seen Guillermo's name on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I read it in like 3 days.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those things where I don't usually read books in 3 days. And it was one where I was like, you know, just couldn't stop reading it.
Yeah, you can't
haven't
put
read
it down.
Any of the sequels.
The comic is the same way,
right?
Like you can't put those first 12 issues down.
Right.
That being said, like it's kind of has dragged on and on a little bit.
Well, the book series is only a trilogy.
Yeah,
and I think it's been done for a couple of years
the
now.
Trilogy's been done for a while.
Yeah.
And, I've only watched the first episode of the TV show.
I liked the first episode, but I haven't watched.
I don't
any
think
other.
I'm gonna watch.
Really?
Any more of it? It's not that I didn't like it, but, you know, I've read the book and I've read the comics.
Right.
Like, how much more of this universe do I really need?
Right.
So, all right. And then your next one is...
It's DC's Ghost. It was an anthology book.
Yeah.
I just would acknowledge all of DC's horror anthologies. There's House of Mystery, House of Secrets, Weird War Tales, Ghost. They've all... made an impression on me over the years. I remember getting some of these when I was a kid and, you know, at the flea market and that. And I mean, the art, the stories, it just was a really cool thing.
It feels like the anthology is a great way for comics to put horror
out
there.
Yeah. There's horror comics that are good as anthology, and then there's comics that have horror in them.
Right.
Like, I wrote down The Sandman, because mm-hmm. The Sandman's, like, one of my favorite books. There's a lot of horror in there.
Sure.
I mean, mainly the villain, the Corinthian, is, like, you know, a frightening horror-type villain, and, you know, he has mouth for eyes.
Okay.
So, you know, he's one of the more frightening villains, and that story had a lot of horror elements to it.
Okay.
And that's probably one of the ongoing ones, kind of like Preacher.
Sure.
Where it had horror elements, but for a straight-up horror, DC did a lot of anthology stuff, mainly in, like, the 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
And they still, every once in a while, publish, like, anthologies, like Weird War Tales. They did it a couple years ago. But they don't have an ongoing book like that, because I think now in this day and age, it's not really something that people want.
No.
And I enjoy anthologies. I think that's the best way to do a horror movie sometimes and horror comic books.
Well, they
books.
Had that whole, what was it, VHS was the last big horror anthology.
Yeah, and I haven't watched any of those, but I heard they're apparently pretty
passing
awesome.
Passing out in the theater. And yeah. So they're both on Netflix now, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. And then your last book.
Hellblazer.
That's
John
just
Constantine.
A
yeah.
Constantine, yeah.
Yeah.
Who is going to be on Arrow next week.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that they're bringing the character from
the
canceled
TV series.
And it's Matt
Ryan, who was on the NBC
show.
Yeah,
we mentioned
so.
Something about it. Cool book, cool stories. I've read it in trade format over the years. He was actually introduced in Swamp Thing, so
yeah,
a little tie to Swamp Thing. Just a badass character with a badass attitude, pretty much, is the way to put it. I mean, you
can't
know,
beat it.
And just dealing with there's stories where he just deals with demons, and then there are stories where he's dealing with himself.
And I think those are, to me, have always been the ones I've liked the best.
Yeah.
It's because he's so flawed.
Yeah.
And, you know, to watch him have to deal with all the mistakes that he's made in his life and to get to the point of where he's at.
Right.
And the wake of ruin he's left in.
Yeah, know, and I mean, he's not a hero at all. No. There's nothing. There's nothing heroic about the character. He's just, you know, excuse my language, but he's just an asshole.
Yeah,
I mean, it's straight up. So, I mean, and I think that makes the story enjoyable.
Yeah. All right. So that kind of wraps it up for comics for us.
Yeah.
There's something for everybody out there.
The
beauty of
it's pretty
of
much
comics.
Just research. I mean, you know, I literally remembered everything that I had read, but like with Lock and Key, I just happened to be looking through a website and it said that it was horror, and I'm like, yeah, it sounds like horror to me. And I mean, you know, there's elements. Like I said, I know Joe Hill's writing, and I know there's elements of sci-fi and adventure in there too. So. Yeah.
So if you're interested in this at all, tweet at Johnny if you have any questions or like want to know something cool to read.
Yeah.
Because he's an awesome resource for this. I use him for it. He's happy to do it.
Yeah. You get in
for
touch
a
no- with me
for
on
a
there
nominal or... fee, he will let you know.
Facebook, if you want to send me a message there too, you can.
Yeah. All right. So TV, like horror TV is something that I think has a lot of like peaks and valleys.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there's a lot of really bad horror TV.
There has been.
I have some of that on my list.
I probably have some of that on my list.
And then, you know, there's some like really good horror TV. I will say this. Neither one of us have American Horror Story on here.
No. And that's for the fact that I've never watched American Horror Story.
I watched the first half of the first season and tapped out.
Yeah.
I just didn't like it. You know, it's like Dylan McDermott, Connie Britton. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm
you
totally
were
gonna watch
because
this.
Of the actors,
and then I just couldn't like care about it.
I think my problem is there's so much that I do watch that it just was
well,
not
I mean, that's
one
the
that
other
I was
thing.
Like, you know.
And then I tried to watch the second season. And I'm like, you know, because
was
it's
that
an
Asylum?
Anthology.
Yeah,
yeah. And it's like, all right, I think Asylums are
see
scary
Asylum
and
sounds
cool.
More interesting to me than the first season did. So I probably would.
Yeah.
Watch Asylum.
I kind of want to check out Hotel.
Yeah, and Hotel sounds
just
cool.
Because of the cast.
Yeah.
Like, you know, with everybody who's in it is pretty awesome. All right. So for me with TV, horror kind of begins and ends with The Outer Limits.
Okay.
The original Outer Limits.
All right.
I loved the show.
There's nothing wrong with your TV screen.
There was nothing wrong. I remember like sneaking downstairs, like watching.
When did you watch? I mean, where did you watch? How
on
did
TV,
you find
like
it?
Reruns.
Was it just on late nights?
It was on late night. I would sneak down and watch Conan O'Brien.
Okay.
And I want to say it was on like whatever the Fox affiliate, Channel 19 or whatever 19 it was.
19 here, yeah.
They showed like after Conan was on. And like, you know, I've never been much of a sleeper. And so maybe because, you know, I would watch stuff like this.
Right. You have terror running through your mind.
I do. It's just always like, you know, the nightmares.
So are you more of a fan of Outer Limits than Twilight Zone?
Yes.
And Twilight Zone being like, on my list.
And I do. I like the Twilight Zone. Right. But like, it's like that. Like, I don't think you can like both of them equally.
No, no.
You can like and you can love both of them. It's like if you have more than one child, you love both of them.
Right.
But I don't care what you say. You love one of them more than the other.
Right.
And like I just happen to just skew more towards Outer Limits. I think it's because it was more like sci-fi.
Yeah.
And less horror-y.
Right.
Horror-y? Horror-y.
Thank you. I was going to say.
I said it right in my
head.
How
many times do I hear that mistake?
I said it right in my head, but I don't think it came out right in my mouth. But yeah, so, you know, they're both really good shows. Right, yeah.
You sway more toward the sci-fi elements of stories, and, even when they are horror.
Right. And I mean, I've shared, like, you know, when I was a kid, like, I went sci-fi after I read Dune.
Right.
You know, I was all in after reading Lord of the Rings to go like fantasy. Like I had my 20-sided die ready. And then I read Frank Herbert's first Dune.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, you can keep your dragons and your magic and all that fun stuff.
Yeah. And I've always been exposed to all of it. Give me so spaceships. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, I can remember being like maybe 7 years old and seeing Friday the 13th at my mom and dad's friend's house.
Nice.
And that, so it's one of those things where it's always been there. So when I go for horror, I go for horror. Yeah. And when I go for sci-fi, I go for sci-fi. But I can love them as a story together.
Yeah.
And I mean, like you said, Outer Limits is sci-fi, where I like Twilight Zone more for the, and it's psychological horror.
It
more
is.
Than
it's
anything.
Very much.
And I mean, there's stories in there where it's like, you know, elements of stories where they stick with you.
The beauty of the Twilight Zone is nothing is ever what it seems.
Right.
And whatever you ask for, that's what you're going to get, but nothing more and nothing less. So it's be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
And the Outer Limits did not have that same.
Right. Rod Serling had a good formula for storytelling and made sure that whoever he had writing those episodes knew his formula. And I mean, you know, if aliens ever come and give us a book that's not translatable, tell them to get the hell out of here because that's a cookbook.
Yeah.
And yes, there is something on that wing.
So
believe Shatner when he says there's something on that wing.
Or John Lithgow later on.
Yeah,
no, but I mean, again, like I feel like those are both like anthology stories.
Yeah.
And it just works. I mean,
like
we
said, anthologies with horror work a lot better.
Yeah. I mean, like two of your shows, the Friday the 13th the series and Freddy's Nightmares are both anthologies.
Yeah, Friday the 13th the series had a storyline but every week it was looking for a different piece that had been cursed.
Right.
And the story being whoever got that piece, what happened to them.
Yeah.
And having Ryan and I can't remember the other character's name, but when the cousins would show up and, you know, it's kind of like what with you have, you have Supernatural.
I do.
Friday the 13th is a catalyst for Supernatural.
Right.
And it was a good series.
So
Freddy's Nightmares was an anthology.
Was an anthology for sure. And I'll never forget. There was an episode where, it was a track meet.
Yeah.
And
you were
I ran track and I was really competitive at track. And like, even years later, from seeing that, like, you know, I was, what, 12 or 11 years old to, you know, being 18, 19 years old, and I would get to the finish line, and there would be the, like, tape or the string.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't want to run through it because there was a Freddy's Nightmare where it turned into a razor blade.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah.
Yeah, the
like,
razor wire.
If we could just not have that, like,
there was just
I'm going to win the race, but let's just not have that.
And I mean, it was just fun. I think it only lasted one season.
I think it was like 26 episodes.
Yeah, it was another one of those syndicated shows. And I think there were elements on that show that just got too dark and a lot of networks dropped it. And like, it was, literally, it was, I was watching like
12:30
it
12:30 a.m. Our local, which was weird. Yeah, yeah, it was Fox.
It was on Fox, our local Fox network, and they dropped it mid-season.
Yeah, it was on and Saturday night.
Luckily, like, we were getting Dayton channels.
Yeah.
Dayton carried it all the way through. So I got to see the whole series, but Fox in our in Cincinnati dropped it midway through.
I mean, it was dark. It was dark, dark.
Oh yeah, and I think like there was close lines drawn on like adult stuff. Yeah. Like there, I can't remember there was an episode where I know that there was nudity in that episode, and you know it doesn't acknowledge it. Right. But
yeah, and then you mentioned for me Supernatural.
Yeah.
You know, again, I only recognize the first five seasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
I watched season six. I gave up the second episode into season seven, and I haven't been back. And I think it's in like season 11 or 12 at this point.
Yeah, it started season 11 4 weeks ago.
And I've been told to go watch the end of season nine and then watch seasons 10 and 11.
I think season nine was actually a decent season.
Yeah, so I don't
know. That was the one with the, I can't remember the names of them. They literally are mouth.
Okay. Oh, Leviathans?
Leviathans. That's it. Yeah. The Leviathans.
I've heard that name, so I haven't seen it.
It's a fun season because it has a little bit of humor to it, too.
But, yeah, I mean, it's one that I'll check out. But, like, you know, again, without, like, Freddy's Nightmares or Friday the 13th, like, I don't think a show like Supernatural ever exists.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah. And then you have Scream.
Yeah, MTV Scream.
The MTV Scream, which is in, getting ready to start a second season?
I don't think it's going to be airing soon because the first season just ended.
Oh, the first season just ended.
It ended in September.
Okay.
Decent show.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun trying to figure out who the killer was.
Okay. Do they tell you who the killer is?
They do end it, but they leave it open-ended because of something else that happens. So I don't know where it's going to go in a second season. Wes Craven was an executive producer on the show. So
Was Kevin Williamson involved with it at all?
I don't think so. Craven and you know, a lot of his people.
Sure.
So hopefully they can keep it going in the right direction with, you know, Craven passing away and that.
Yeah.
The mask was different, but it was cool because it kind of resembled the mask from the movies.
Okay.
The twist.
Do they know about the movie in the TV show?
No.
Like, has the movie...
No,
like,
they do not acknowledge it at all. It's not the same town.
Okay, okay.
They don't even acknowledge that it happened, which was one of my complaints.
See, I'm glad they didn't do that.
I just think that, like, it should have been acknowledged as either it was a movie that happened, that was made, and, you know...
Yeah.
I mean, there's enough of the characters in there that are like the characters in the show, but there's enough twist that I want to see where it goes.
Okay, cool.
So, you know, it's one where I'll come back, and I've never watched MTV's Teen Wolf, but I heard that it's kind of the same thing where it's one when you get into it.
I don't know why they even call that show Teen Wolf, because it has not, like, it's nothing to do with, like, the movie at all.
Well, right.
Like,
and
there's people out there who see, like, you know, but I mean,
Michael J.
Scream,
Fox.
Yeah, like the Michael J. Fox and the Jason Bateman, you know, where they're like, hey, wait, what's this?
It's like,
you
wait a minute, there's a basketball playing going on in this show? That's why I was going to watch this
show. Nobody's surfing on the roof of a van in the show. But yeah, all right.
Yeah, and Scream then, at least has a tie
to
with the movie, but nothing. Kind of
What's your favorite scary movie?
They don't even do that in this.
That's good.
And they acknowledge like modern technology a lot. And there's a lot of... The opening scene's pretty awesome in the first episode.
Okay, well, maybe I'll check it out. My next one is Grimm. Which we're recording this on Thursday. If you're listening to this on Friday, set your DVR. The new season premieres. Nick just lost.
Is it on NBC?
NBC,
still?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nick had to kill, or, well, I don't know if he killed, I don't remember if he killed her or not, but his girlfriend became a Hexen Beast, which is one of the Vessen, which is like, you know, the demons on that show.
You're speaking another language. I know.
And so Nick is the Grimm. David,
which is a hunter, pretty
David,
much, right?
David Guglietta, or I think that's how you say it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's like Dean and Sam in a way. But like, so the what happens with the Grimm is he can see like who are Vessen and who aren't. And he comes from a family. The best thing is it's not like, oh, there's only one in a generation. Like, there's Grimms
more...
all over.
Okay.
And, you know, so...
it's not like the Slayer?
No, which made me happy.
Okay.
Again, one that I was late to. I didn't start watching until probably was in its third season.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I remembered I saw something on a preview and I was like, oh, I need to check that out. And then Amazon put the first two seasons out on Prime.
Okay.
So I watched them like in a weekend. Like, wow, you know, all right. Like it was probably a little bit longer than that, but you know,
but because this came after what season five of Supernatural.
Oh, much ended, later,
so you
yeah,
were kind of
so
looking for a replacement. I was
looking for something.
Right.
And, you know, it's just
there's
a cool
this other
story.
Show called Supernatural that, you know, you should watch. Maybe.
Anyway, but, yeah, no, I enjoy the hell out of Graham. It has scary moments, like legit scary moments.
Okay.
You know, the creatures are cool. Cause it's called voguing.
Yeah.
And not like the Madonna, like voguing.
Right.
It's spelled differently anyway. And it's all based on like the scary ass German versions of Grimm's fairy tales.
Okay.
And,
so a lot of the monsters are the actual monsters from
Grimm's
fairy
tales. Yeah. And it's like what the
tales.
Monster is like based on.
Right.
And, I mean, they've had some like truly, truly terrifying monsters.
Right.
You know, I put Sleepy Hollow like kind of along with this as like just kind of a subset of Grimm.
Yeah.
It's similar. This season's been interesting because like they kind of completed their first mission and now they're on to like being the witnesses and like, are they here to create or destroy the earth kind of a thing or
wow.
save or destroy the earth? And then, Shannon Sossaman from A Knight's Tale.
Okay.
And, 40 Days and Nights.
Yeah.
Is playing Pandora of Pandora's Box.
Pandora's Box, right.
And so it's been pretty interesting.
So they're building their own universe using characters from Grimm's fairy tales and other horror.
That, and then it's tied into the creation of America. So, like, they introduced Betsy Ross as a character.
Okay.
Where she was a super spy.
Wow.
Basically, yep. You know, so.
And I could see where you're talking Sleepy Hollow and it have ties to each other.
Right. And then, so next for you, you have...
The Buffyverse.
Just the Buffyverse.
Yeah, Buffy and Angel. Loved it. I haven't watched it in years. Loved it when it was on.
Buffy doesn't hold up.
Really?
To me.
Okay.
Like,
You've gone back and watched.
I've gone back and I've watched it all, like all seven seasons, even though
Buffy, it's one of those things where I would go back and watch episodes that I know I enjoyed.
Yeah.
And Hush
is a great episode. Like just overall.
The Halloween episodes.
Yeah,
you know,
I think we've been so inundated with Joss Whedon.
Yeah,
that there's just so much of that, and there's so many people who copy it poorly.
Right,
it affects Buffy. Angel, on the other hand, once you get past the second season and like it finds what its true voice and
what
story
it is,
it's still like in my mind really, really good. And you know, everyone has their own opinion.
I mean, I enjoyed.
I still think Buffy should have ended at season five,
and I agree with you. I did watch it all the way through. But I agree that it should have just been a 5-year series, and Supernatural should have been a 5-year series.
I mean, it
series.
Had a definitive end.
Yeah.
And then they turned around and they undid what was one of the more heroic things that's happened on television.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, there's not many memorable episodes in the last few seasons.
I think the musical episode.
It's probably one of the most memorable. I mean,
the one where Willow flays the guy when she's like bored now and like but that's only interesting because she's like Dark Willow, but that's only for two episodes.
It's
like that should have been an entire season.
And they do carry on after she goes back that you know they're all
she
afraid of her
and,
she's pretty much like a recovering alcoholic type of storyline,
you know, in much like Charmed.
Yeah,
like the magic, you could only use so much of it. And
right.
You couldn't use it for personal gain.
Yeah,
or
I think my problem with the last few seasons was, and it was because I was a fan of the character, Anthony Stewart Head left.
Oh, yeah.
And was only like a guest star.
Yeah.
And it kind of lost me. And it was the whole, you know, they came out and said it was because the kids were growing up and they didn't need the adult. And I disagree with that totally because they were still in their early 20s still, you know. Buffy's mom was dead. Yep. Buffy's mom died on the show.
They weren't fully baked.
They weren't fully done.
Buffy's
and I mean,
line.
You know, it was one of those things where there was still a kid around. I mean, Buffy's sister was still there. And it's
like, who's taking care of Dawn? The least responsible person ever.
The person who, was dealing with her own things of going to heaven.
Having
and,
to come back.
I mean, you know, it's the whole thing that her character was in heaven.
Yeah.
And I think they should have left alone. And they've done... You know, going the comics. They've done season 9, season 10.
Yeah.
And they keep going, and I'm like, you're beating a dead horse. It's kind of like Supernatural. You're beating a dead horse at that point. And
the comics aren't great.
They're not. Read the...
They've turned everybody into a superhero.
Yeah, the season after the last season, and I think that was it.
Like, Xander is literally Nick Fury.
Yeah, yeah, with the eye patch.
Yeah, I mean, like...
At least he's not getting drunk, well, you know?
Yeah.
sorry, that was mean, but... Yeah, that was mean,
so let's just gloss over that. Okay, yeah. So my last one is Being Human. The sci-fi version.
Yeah. The U.S. version.
The U.S. version. Yeah. With the Sams.
The Sams and...
Megan Rath.
Yeah.
I initially watched because Sam Huntington was on the show.
I think I just watched because I was curious to see what it was.
I had watched the BBC.
See, I did not watch the BBC. And I don't think I will ever go watch the BBC because I think it would ruin my love for this show.
I don't... Like, it's one of these rare... occurrences where the U.S. version
is better,
is superior,
yeah,
to, you know,
I mean, actually, we should call it the Canadian version,
yeah, whatever. Was, yeah, well,
yeah,
I mean, it's sci-fi, it's, you know, like,
yeah, it takes place Canadian, in the U.S. but it's so, filmed in Canada, and but, you know, it was definitely an experience.
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean, it was it, there
it's
were
nice to call a show an experience.
Yeah,
yeah,
it had a definitive beginning
and a definitive ending,
and yeah, you know, when it was canceled, I was really sad.
Yeah.
But
at least they were given the chance to end their show. They were given the
time to do what they needed to do. And that being said, Sam Huntington was the heart and soul of that show. He's what made it scary.
Yeah.
He's what made it heartfelt.
Right.
And then, you know, Sam Witwer was, you know, just this force on the show. And then Megan Rath, who I hadn't ever heard of
her. I don't think I've ever seen her in anything before. I've seen her in things afterwards.
I've seen her in things, she was just refreshing.
Right.
You know, she was this ghost who had no idea how, like, you know, in like before the character had died, Sally, she was just kind of floating through life.
Yeah.
And like then becomes a ghost who's literally floating through life. And she finds like she's this strong person.
Right.
She's. She knows how to love
deeply. She had a semi-abusive relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Going
I mean, he
on.
Killed her.
Right. He killed her, but she throughout the series, had to acknowledge that the life she had wasn't as nice as she thought it was.
Right.
And that, I mean, you know.
And how to create a new life after death, you know.
Yeah.
The whole thing with the vampires and, you know, the sickness that they brought in was so interesting. Mark Pellegrino.
Yes.
Was amazing in the first season.
And showing up throughout.
And definitely showing up throughout. But yeah. Like, that guy is just such a cool actor. And, you know, like, he's been in almost everything we've talked about.
Like, he played Lucifer on Supernatural.
Second best devil ever on TV.
Yeah. Yeah. What is it?
John Glover and
Brimstone. John Glover, right. So.
Which I wouldn't consider Brimstone horror, but that was a good show too.
Right.
All right. And then your last show, which
G versus E
was a sci-fi show. It first started out being called Good versus Evil.
It was on Sci-Fi Channel called Good versus Evil. Canceled.
Was on with Farscape, The Invisible Man. Yeah. And then when they,
it was the sci-fi block or whatever.
When it came back,
it went USA
from Good
Network,
versus Evil to G versus E. And that was the whole time where it was like they were trying to truncate The Invisible Man to I-Man.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You know, so,
well, and it was one of those things where Sci-Fi Channel stopped carrying it.
Right.
And USA Network picked it up. They were obviously owned by the same company.
Yeah, they were the Netflix of the time.
It got better when it was on the USA
Network.
It did.
It got a lot better. I mean, it was a good show. Like, all
yeah,
the way
it
around,
had Richard Brooks and Clayton Rohner were the main characters. And it was just a weird, quirky show. Yeah.
You know, it's fun but scary.
Yeah, there was elements of that would, you know, scare the hell out of you, but you know, there was weird horror stuff on it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's the first time I had seen Shannon Elizabeth.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
she was like young.
Yeah, she was
too,
really young, and she showed up as a stripper in one episode, and turned out she wasn't a stripper, she was something else, and that was the
wasn't
thing.
Wasn't she
it
a succubus?
Yeah, it was just one of those things where it was like, you know, the stories were them hunting down monsters, mm-hmm. demons and everything else, and pretty much like seeing the consequences because of the way that it happened. In that, it's one that I would recommend people to check out. Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. All right. That's our Halloween talk.
Well, that's the Halloween list talk.
Yeah.
Don't forget about It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to be in the pumpkin patch waiting for the Great Pumpkin tomorrow night or Saturday night.
And I'm just naming off a few of my favorites. Disney's Headless Horseman, Ichabod.
Oh, yeah.
Story is just a fun the story animated. To watch.
Yeah.
It's yeah. Great. Yeah, Sleepy Hollow is doing all that, acknowledging a lot of that stuff. And
yeah, they did the first couple seasons. Right, yeah. So.
This year's the 77th anniversary of War of the Worlds.
Oh.
Which aired on October 30th.
Yep.
Right into Halloween.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's not horror related, but it is Halloween.
Well, I mean, it was terrifying.
Oh, yeah. It was terrifying for the people at the time. And
I will say this. Glenn Beck. And no politics aside,
right?
Like, probably a solid like 10 or 15 years ago, did a recreation of the War of the Worlds radio play.
Wow, and I did not know that.
Great, and like, I didn't know who Glenn Beck was, I just heard about it, and so I tuned in. I mean, I never listened to any more before because I wasn't really a talk radio person then. It was fantastic, and it was very much in the vein of Orson Welles.
Wow, okay.
The other like radio play type things. If you go to audible.com/LK for Lock and Key,
yeah,
there's a 13-hour radio play that's still free to download for a couple more days.
Okay.
It's got Kate Mulgrew, some really big name actors and actresses, Haley Joel Osment.
And it's Lock and Key.
And it's just reading, it's not just reading the comic. I mean, it's adapted as a radio play, so there are things that are new to the story.
Wow, okay.
That aren't in it, since, I mean, we're talking about, like, kind of these other little things.
Yeah, I can remember a few years ago, Kate Mulgrew coming up, a lot of Star Trek actors got together and redid War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to listen to that and listen to what they had, how they adapted it.
That was a cool TV show.
I go back to...
with the three-finger sucker things.
Yeah, the sequel to the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I go back and listen to it every so often just because it's interesting to listen to it and know that this was done in 1938.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't have the technology that they have now. And it's like, how the hell did they do some of this stuff? Well,
it's not only how the hell did they do it, but how did they, like when he did the radio play, how was there not
mass
more?
Hysteria.
How was there not more? Like,
mass hysteria,
like,
though.
I mean, cats and dogs living together, you know, that kind of thing.
I mean, just it's weird to imagine. You know, I mean, of course, at that time, you know, Nazis were invading every country around them. And that, and for an alien invasion to happen, and it's a fictional show, but people were tuning in late.
Right.
And it turned into mass hysteria. And I'm just like, you know, that's one of those points in time where people are like, if you were going to time travel, where would you go? Just go to October 30th, 1938 and watch what happens.
Yeah. Like, I'll just sit up in my flying car and watch.
Well, sure, yeah. So, but yeah.
As my DeLorean.
I prefer time bubble, but, you know. Time bubble.
Thank you, Rip Hunter. All right, so we got a lot of comic books this week. We're not really going to get into that because we've talked about enough of the things. Do you have anything that you want to highlight?
There, not a lot. There's a new book out called Black Magic that looks cool. Picked it up. I believe it's Dark Horse.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's Dark Horse. Chewbacca number 2 came out. Howling Command is a Shield. Kind of looked cool. It's one of the Secret Wars books.
It's a one shot.
I think it is a one shot, yeah. But it looked cool. There's actually, if you're reading Secret Wars, there's an official guide to the Secret Wars multiverse.
Did you pick that up?
I did pick it up.
I forgot to get it, so I have to grab it.
I haven't flipped through it. Yeah. I worked late last night and didn't really get to look at anything. And that, I mean, it's a little bit of everything this week.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of Star Wars and a little bit of Secret Wars on my list. I mean, obviously, if you want to check it out, it'll be on the
show notes.
Site, and, you know... hopefully I can catch up this weekend.
Fight Club 2, number 6 is out. Fight that two, was a big
Fight
one.
Fight Club 2.
And then Grayson 13, which we posted on the Facebook page.
A little bit
the
of
first two pages had like
about.
A little bit of controversy with the scientist from Spiral.
Is it just the objectification of the
male
figure?
Yeah, I mean, she's just admiring his wang doodle.
Well, yeah.
So, but I mean, check it out. Make your own opinion. And then Angela, Queen of Hell, which I will check out.
Is that Secret Wars?
It's
or
all new, all
different.
Or is it actually
all new, all different?
So I will definitely check
confusing.
That out. I know. I wish they would have waited until Secret Wars was over.
Well, yeah.
Or actually gotten Secret Wars out on time to finish.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, lots of great comics. We'll have everything we got on the show notes. I'll try and find clips of some of these shows and movies to put on there. Obviously, not all of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you know, happy Halloween, guys. Be safe out there. Get some candy.
Definitely have fun. I mean, dress that's up. What it's all about in the end.
You
know,
yeah. If
these holidays, holiday season, you know, I say holiday season starts with Halloween.
Yeah.
And then goes through the new year.
If you're going to dress up, share your pictures with us on our Facebook page or tweet us or, you know, tag us on Instagram.
Yeah, definitely.
We definitely want to see
there
that.
For us to see.
Johnny posted for the t-shirt. We still haven't had anyone answer the question yet. So we're going to run that until next Thursday. And then if we haven't heard from anybody, we'll just do a new question.
We'll just come up with
a new
question.
Because maybe it was too hard.
Yep.
But yeah, so hey guys, this has been the Infamous Podcast, episode 15. I'm Brian Tudor. You can find me on Twitter at Brian Tudor and on Instagram at Brian Tudor.
Johnny Podorf on Twitter, J. Michael Podorf on Instagram and on Facebook.
Yeah, and as always, we're the Infamous Podcast on every social network that you can think of. And again, the 5-star reviews would be super helpful.
Yeah, yeah.
We want to keep moving up, and you know, we're growing, and we want to continue to do so. And we have some other cool stuff.
Yeah, we appreciate any feedback. You know, even ideas, if you want to hear us talk about something, or, you know, if you want to throw something out there to talk about, we'll talk about it. I mean, you know, we're always open to things.
Yeah. And we have another cool interview coming up in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So with a great indie creation team that I don't want to spoil too much right now, but we will talk about more next week. All right, guys. Well, that has been it. Have a great and safe Halloween. Any last words?
Nope. I'm off.
All right. If there's a scary voice in the house, just leave.